Now, we recently received a question from a listener, Ryan Warwick, in Fond du Lac County. He asked, what's happening to all the farms that go under and who is profiting? Wisconsin's been among the top states for farm bankruptcies, and while the total number of filings decreased for the 12-month period ending in September of last year compared with the previous period, we know that small farms in Wisconsin have been struggling. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or have you been a farmer in Wisconsin? What do things look like from your perspective? Have you had to close down a farm? What was like that on a practical level, on an emotional level? If it was in your family for decades, maybe generations, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Our next guest is here to help us answer this why Wisconsin question and understand a little more about the personal and emotional side of it. Daniel Smith previously served as administrator for the Division of Agricultural Development at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. He spent several years as a crisis counselor for farmers. Daniel's also a UW-Madison graduate. After graduating, he worked on his family's farm in northwestern Illinois for 3 decades. He's currently president and CEO of Cooperative Network, a large trade association. His latest book of poetry, inspired by farming life, is called Ancestral. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Before we get to that question from a listener, can you tell us about a bit about your own family's farm in Illinois?
I grew up on a what I would call a typical family, Midwestern family dairy farm, Rob, 320 acres north of Freeport, Illinois. I grew up there and then left for the University of Wisconsin after graduating. My wife and I moved back to the farm, took over the farm from my parents, and we farmed there for 30 years. Over that course of my lifetime in agriculture, I was 55 when we exited farming. Those 5 decades and a half that I spent on the farm, farming was in a constant state of change. And we continue to see that today, Rob. And I think that's one of the reasons for the question that came in is, why are we seeing all this change? What is happening to the farms and what has happened to the families who formerly called those farms their home?
And a unique thing in many ways about farming is it's a small business on one hand, but it's a small business that you might have grown up in, land you knew, family attachments, memories all rolled up into that. Does that make it more difficult, obviously more emotional when people have to consider the idea of closing down that operation?
Oh, definitely. I call it falling in love with farming at an early age, Rob. And I think that's something that farming is very unique. You know, most occupations, you don't live at the workplace. It isn't your home. Your father and mother are working in the business right outside. You learn to help with the chores and do whatever you can at a very early age. And you start to fall in love with farming, with the senses that come along with it, with just the joy of the changing of the seasons. And it really gets into your blood. And that is why it is so difficult when times change. It could be financial, it could be family strife, it could be a physical problem, it could be just at the point that you get in your life where you need to do something else, that it's very hard to let go of what I call both the ancestral home and the ancestral way of life.
And you've got a poem, I think, from your book Ancestral ready for us to help us set the stage a little more, one called Anvil. Can you tell us a few words about the poem and then share it with us?
Sure. When my wife and I decided to exit farming, we also made the difficult decision to leave the family farm physically. We did not retire and live on in the house or on the land. We moved from northern Illinois to a home west of Madison in the Driftless area, an area that we'd always loved. And it was physically and emotionally draining to move off of a farm that had been in my family for, I was the third generation. And it fell to me to move and sort through things and have a sale, an auction, you know, all the chores had to be done to close up the family farm. And when I moved to where we are now, one of the things that I brought with me, and I brought many things from the farm with me, physical things, as well as emotional things, was my father's anvil that we had used for decades on the farm. And I wrote this poem about that Anvil when I got to packing it here in Wisconsin. Anvil. I've hauled my father's anvil due north up out of the Black Illinois farm ground. He and I together worked decades our home. Set down 60 pounds onto the floor of this old barn, new only to me. All around, our bewildered tools hang in the strange light of the cracked window pane, where I stand looking out over land not yet home. It is growing late on a late winter's day. At my feet, my father's anvil, his striking song of steel on steel, still hammering home.
Talking to Daniel Smith, longtime a crisis counselor for farmers, formerly with the state's Division of Agricultural Development, author of the book Ancestral. We just heard a poem from it, looking at a Why Wisconsin question about what happens when farm operations close down. You can join in if you have a question or a story to share at 800-642-1234. Dan, let's get into what happens when farms close down. First of all, on a practical level, when a farmer, the family has made the decision they're not going to operate anymore, what tends to happen to the land? Does it get auctioned off? Does it get integrated into bigger farms? What's next?
Well, each farm kind of has its own case, but there is basically an economic, a physical, and an emotional toll that has to be paid as these farms close down. And just to put it in perspective, just talking about dairy farms and that industry, Rob, in the last 40 years, Wisconsin has lost 40,000 dairy farms. So what we're talking about today, this experience, it isn't unique to me or just a few farmers. It's 40,000 farmers exited the industry. So what happened to those farms, as to your question? Well, very often that land is absorbed into larger and larger farms. Consolidation, specialization in agriculture, the access to capital generally flows to those with assets. So if you have the assets to expand your operation, when I started farming in 1978, Rob, the average herd size in Wisconsin was 36 cows. Today, it's almost 200. And many of our farms, as you know, milk far more than that. So it's consolidation into fewer and fewer farms. We have about 6,500 dairy farms left in the state right now from that 47,000 we had 40 years ago. That land has been absorbed into larger and larger operations. Some of it may exit the dairy industry and go into corn and soybean production. Marginal land is generally sold off either into somebody to build a home on or a subdivision, or also there's demand for recreational land for hunting and that type of thing. But good tillable land is usually absorbed by an existing farmer and it expands their operation. And now where you had two or three or four farms, farm families living, maybe you have one.
We're answering a Wisconsin question from an audience member about why farms in Wisconsin go under, who profits, what happens to the farms and the farmers and their families. Daniel Smith is with us. He spent 3 decades working on his family's dairy farm and worked as a farm crisis counselor in Wisconsin. He's got a book of poetry out inspired by farming life called Ancestral. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a farmer or former farmer, we'd love to hear from you, hear your story. If you're not, what questions do you have about how all of this works? What do you think about what's happening in farming in general, the farm culture as well in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Daniel Smith, president and CEO of Cooperative Network, former dairy farmer, former farm crisis counselor. We're looking at what happens when farms shut down, when people sell off their land, get out of the farming business. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have an experience or question to share. Before we go to our callers, we got an email from a listener, Patty Dolph in Jefferson County, who wanted to share some of her family's story. Read it at length here. In the 1990s, they had a 300-acre farm in Fond du Lac County that she worked on with her parents, four siblings, one hired hand. They milked 65 cows, raised Hampshire hogs, including 35 sows. In 1994, Patty's father suffered a heart attack and required triple bypass surgery. He spent a whole month away from the farm. Her three older sisters went off to college. An extremely cold February in 1995, plus mounting bills from the hospital and feed for the cows, forced Patty's parents to sell the cows. Then they had to sell off land as well to pay off debts, downsizing by 250 acres. Land prices were low. There's no extra money, Patty says, after everything was paid off. Patty writes, I was devastated. I loved the cows, and said she was in high school at the time. I had numerous pets. I knew all of them by name and their personalities. On the day the cattle left, I couldn't be there. At night, there was an eerie stillness with no milking pump going on or cows rattling in their stanchions. For the first next few months after the ordeal, I feel my family came together, Patty wrote. We appreciated the good times in the barn. Also, I feel there might have been a little depression among us and a feeling of fear. What were my parents going to do? Now, Patty lives and milks 500 cows with her husband and his parents on their 850-acre farm in Jefferson County. Her brother and his family are the only ones still living on the family farm in Fond du Lac County. Thanks so much for sending that in to us, Patty. Dan, you've talked as a counselor to people in the shoes of Patty and her family, sat across the table from them, take their calls. Some of your poems are about these crisis calls. Could you just talk about that long, lost by a thousand cuts in some way, that a family like Patty's goes through?
Oh, and that was such an excellent email, Rob, because it really captured the change and all the different influences that a family on a farm feels. The changing of time, the financial stress, the physical stress, the physical and medical bills that really force the hand. And then in the end, because cash flow is not capable of covering everything, you have to start selling off assets. And this is why I did this work for 3 years for the Wisconsin Farm Center at the Department of Agriculture, where we went out and we had these types of conversations, just like with Patty's family, across the kitchen table. And it was very difficult work, Rob, but very, very rewarding, because you could help people. You could help them sort through their options. We never went out, and the Farm Center, I shouldn't speak of it in the past tense just because I'm not there, because this service still goes on at no cost and fully confidential to any Wisconsin farm family. But to go out and to earn their trust. I had a little advantage in that because I could tell my story that I had farmed and that I had made these difficult decisions. So it gave me some credibility, but you still have to put yourself in their shoes. We do not tell them what to do, what decision they need to make, but we do help them sort through the options. And sometimes people, when it comes to the end of an ancestral way of life and having to sell off ancestral land, they can become almost, a term that I often use is barn blindness. It's like you can't see beyond the next 12 hours of the milking routine. The work is overwhelming. The weather is fighting against you. If you can have somebody that comes in and has a cup of coffee at the kitchen table, and number one, just listen and help them sort through the options and slow the process down a little bit. That's very, very beneficial, and it can help the farmer, and it's very, very rewarding to be able to do that type of work.
Let's go to our callers now. Dick is with us in Brooklyn. Dick, hello.
Yes, my comment is, first of all, I've interacted with Dan professionally, so I want to thank him for his service at the DATCAP Farm Center. But my other comment is the impact goes beyond the farmers themselves, because the demise of the small rural community is often tied back to the loss of the small family farms that we're serving. We're using that community as an economic base, basically, through implement dealers, feed stores, lumber yards, other service providers to those small farms. And as they've gone out of business, so have the small rural communities struggled.
Dick, thanks a lot. Dan, not just about the families themselves.
Such a good point. Thank you, Dick, for bringing that up. You know, I often say that Wisconsin has done a really good job of keeping the cows, because we recently set an all-time record of producing 30 billion, with a B, pounds of milk in a single year. So we have the cows, we have the production. We didn't do a very good job of keeping the farmers. And we lost those 40,000 dairy farms in Wisconsin over four decades that I keep referring to. But we lost a lot more than that. We lost the families that filled our rural schools, the businesses on Main Street that supported those families and those farms. We lost the people who serve on our cooperative boards and our town boards and our school boards, really depopulated the rural area as these farms went away. And I think we've dealt on the economic and the production side of it pretty well. I'm not sure that we, in Wisconsin, I'm speaking of, I'm not sure the state of Wisconsin has really addressed the cultural and the society cost, the social cost of losing all those farms.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Daniel Smith about what happens when we lose family farms in Wisconsin, economically and personally. Let's go back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hi. I'm going to try and get through this. It's kind of an emotional thing. My grandparents were working the farm down in southwestern Minnesota back in the early 1930s. And my grandfather got very sick and couldn't really take care of the farm anymore. He tried, but I'm not exactly sure what his sickness was, because this whole thing was kind of kept from our family because they weren't embarrassed by it, but I think. But anyway, he got so sick he couldn't take care of the farm. It depressed him to the point that he went out and committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that it's not only the land and the farms and everything, but living in and being on a farm and some doing that production stuff was a very emotional thing besides just kind of a production type of thing.
Jim, thank you so much for sharing that story and that loss. I feel I'm sorry. It's still fresh in your mind, clearly. Dan, you've had conversations, one of your poems, about the kind of crisis calls that someone like Jim's grandpa might have made.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, Jim, for your loss on that. And thank you for sharing. Yes, right now, what we're talking about, well, I don't want to talk about it like it's in the past. This mm-hmm. is going on every day. Mm-hmm. Right now, we lose another dairy farm every day in the state of Wisconsin. We're losing about 360 to 370 dairy farms a year. So we're averaging one a day. And the suicide rate in agriculture is 3.5 times any other industry. And it really is one of the reasons that it drove me to write the book, because the cultural and emotional pull to agriculture is so strong. And I think we've done a really good job of studying agriculture in economic terms, in industry terms. There's white papers, there's all kinds of studies in agricultural economics that come out of the land grant colleges. We know all that. What I wanted to do was peel back the cultural and the emotional component of agriculture, because it's every bit as important as the economic and the business and the industrial changes that are taking place.
Jim, thanks so much for sharing that story. By the way, the suicide helpline, the lifeline number is 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. Time for one more caller. Jay is with us in Fenimore. Jay, hi.
Hello. I wanted to first ask our guest about his poetry. I noted the use of his word bewildered when he talked about the tools and the anvil coming in. And as a blank verse poet myself, I just found that interesting, so I'd like him to visit a little bit about that. And also, I have seen the downright depression of folks when they've had to sell their dairy herds. And we're just, in my opinion, not getting enough federal support from congressional leaders in pricing milk and dairy products the right way, where we can sustain these farms. So I will take my answers off the air. Thank you so much for this guest in this time.
Jay, thanks for the call. Let's tie both parts of this question together. Dan, how do you tie together the practical, the policy, things like that, with the personal in your poetry?
Well, my goal was, when I write, was, as and I've used this before, so this isn't off the top of my head, that I would speak with the practicality of a farmer but the syntax of a poet. And I think there has been a long history of poetry's connection to agriculture. To me, I've written my entire life. The poetry was a way for me to assess where I was in my life at the time, to capture the joy of working with my parents on the farm. I wanted the book to be honest enough to speak to the joys of farming and the beauty of working on the land, but also to acknowledge the human toll that takes, the difficulties of maintaining that, and how very difficult it is when you reach a point in your life that I did, where difficult decisions are made and you need to transition into a different type of occupation and a different type of life.
Dan, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That's Daniel Smith, president and CEO of Cooperative Network. He's worked as a counselor for farmers, also at the Division of Agricultural Development here in Wisconsin. The book he just mentioned, a book of poetry inspired by farming life, is called Ancestral. He joined us for a conversation inspired by an audience question as part of the Why Wisconsin project about what happens when farms close. Submit your question at WPR.org/WhyWisconsin. We might answer it in a future story. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, Russia's invasion of Ukraine could be a turning point on a global scale, and it means a lot for the U.S. We'll find out what could change, and you could join in with your questions and your comments. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.